numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, DK Network. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D here downtown. It's Thursday. That means Unscripted with Crackman, Bill Krakenberger. Change of venue, no change in crack. He will be with us.
Slight change.
Slight change, yes. He will be with us a little earlier. So that hour that he's with us, we're just staggering it one segment earlier. So instead of 11 to noon Eastern or 8 to 9 Pacific, it's going to be now 15 minutes before that, beginning and end. We want to get him on the DK Network, which we do here the first hour on a numbers game. And then we want to talk football at the end of every show as well, I guess is an added thing,
yeah,
too. But we don't want to shortchange the crack man at all.
Exactly. And it gets a different audience, a little taste of crack. And if you like it, you can hang out for 45 minutes more.
I believe Kelly just said a taste of crack.
Taste of crack.
Read into that what you will. A few different directions, I suppose, Kelly, go with that thing. Okay, JVT on college football, in case you didn't know, our senior NBA analyst is also doing a couple college football shows over the weekend, a live betting show, also a look-ahead line show, so we'll talk to JVT here this hour as well. This is one of those opening segments where I just got to say, I want to paraphrase Shaq. Remember when Shaq was like, when he was an aging basketball player, and he said, I don't know who he said it to, but he's just trying to explain how the game, as he got older, had changed, and he said, very eloquently, as only Shaq can, he said, 39 ain't 29. Well, 2023 around here ain't 2022, or any other year before that, quite frankly. 2023 is sort of like 2013. I had a really bad season in 2013, bad year betting in 2013 as well, baseball and beyond. Nothing seems to work out. Spencer Strider yesterday, who wasn't just me, but I've certainly been on the banging the drum for the Spencer Strider Cy Young campaign, he gets shelled again. And I mean from the get yesterday against the St. Louis Cardinals. I had planned on going from my apartment to the sports book because I didn't have it at home. MLB Network, Roku, it's a whole thing. So I wanted to go to the sports book. Before I could even like get myself up, it was 2-0.
It was
two batters in. I'm like, okay, maybe this isn't worth a trip. He ends up, and this is almost identical to his pitching line from five starts ago. Five starts ago, he pitched at Pittsburgh. He went 2 2/3. He gave up 6 earned runs on 5 hits. He was yanked from the game. 3 Ks, 3 walks. Yesterday, hosting the St. Louis Cardinals, 2 2/3, 6 runs on 6 hits. 5 Ks and 3 walks. His ERA is 3.83. He gets the loss, so his record falls to 16-5. What acronym can I use? RIP? DOA last night? Dead on arrival with that ticket?
Well, DOA on his start last night.
Yeah.
And, RIP, I think, to our tickets.
Pour out of 40. Gangsta lean.
It was a fun run, Spencer.
It was a great run. Now, there's a couple people who are like, wait, is it over for real? By the way, the updated odds, Blake Snell minus 215, Justin Seale plus 175, and Spencer Strider falls to 11-1 at DraftKings.
Just wild. A week ago, plus 170.
Here's the thing. A couple people asked me, they're like, oh, is it really dead? Because isn't there still a path? There's one path is mythical. One is, you know, you'd have to hit the royal flush. The mythical one is, if you could tell me 99% of the voters are analytics people, that's a different story. But they're not. So that's out. Yes, could Blake Snell get shelled here against the Astros, and that would change his sort of purview on this? Absolutely. And ticket holders for Blake Snell ought to be concerned about that. But I said the other day, I was like, listen, if folks are going to bet on this based on any number of criteria, and as Tom Tango has told us for many years, and Tom Tango texted or DM'd you yesterday,
yep,
because he was pointing out that Fangraphs is now tracking, mm-hmm, based on his numbers, his old Cy Young tracker as well. First of all, those numbers updated, the Tango updated numbers today. Spencer Strider used to lead in something called enhanced Tom Tango Cy Young points. He doesn't even lead in that anymore. Justin Steele does. But he's way behind in the real thing now. Blake Snell, 66.6. Justin Steele, 64.3. It's Strider all the way down to Zach Gallen territory, if you will. So put him in that category with Gallen. He's at 53. gallons at 52.9. So, no. I mean, yeah, if Snell gets shelled and then somehow Justin Steele out of nowhere gets shelled, I suppose this could revert in some way. But and then it's could Strider win out and win 20? He's not going to get to 300 strikeouts anymore. So the 20-win slash 300 strikeouts thing ain't going to happen. But I said the other day also, if you're doing this, if people are going to vote on this based on who's really the MVP of pitching, it's kind of Justin Steele, right? Even before last night, because Snell makes a team that suck less. Spencer Strider makes an already great team that much greater. But those things are already intact. Justin Steele makes a team that might not have made the playoffs into a postseason team. If that's the way someone's going to vote, he's the Cy Young Award winner now. Still plus money, plus 175. And the other thing that I have mentioned the whole way through, even while stumping for Spencer Strider, is he still had to bring that ERA down, right? Because the Tango, what the Tango points system is really based on, and he, again, has picked 7 out of the last 12 Cy Young winners, AL, NL, over the last 6 years, and some years even before that got all 5, like, in order in terms of the vote correct. So it's remarkably accurate. His formula is very simple. It's innings pitched divided by 2 minus earned runs plus strikeouts divided by 10 plus wins. You don't have to remember that. But what it gets to is that with most voters, baseball card stats are still the only thing that matters. And all this stuff we talk about with XFIP and FIF and all that, yes, everyone who comes on this show is an analytics person, so all of them are, oh, it's Spencer Strider, just like I did. But you had to get the ERA down, and my thing was you had to get it below 3.4 into the 3.3s. I kept saying that the whole time. And remember, he flirted with it. He got low 3.4s. It's 3.83 now. You're not winning a Cy Young with a 3.83 ERA, especially when the other guys are not like Bob Gibson either, right? They're 2.5 and 2.55, but you're not winning it with a 3.83. Just like what we said with Zach Gallen, you're not winning it with the road 4.84, right? A 4.84 road ERA. So we eat it. And You know what? There's nothing you can say. He got beat up.
So question for you, though.
And he couldn't afford to get beat up again.
Right. Yeah. He couldn't afford. Yeah. So, you know, RIP. So we're basically down to 2 right now, right?
Yep.
Just looking, and like you're talking about, some of the baseball card stats that matter. How is Justin Steele still, like, shouldn't he be shorter than what he is? Like,
he should be the favorite to me.
Yeah, okay. Like that. Yeah. That's, I mean, you're comparing things. Yeah. Okay, it's a 2.50 ERA for Blake Snell, 2.55 ERA for Justin Steele. But he's got the wins.
He's got the wins.
He doesn't have the strikeouts.
Yeah.
But, like, everything else goes in his favor.
Well, the Blake's, while the analytics thing didn't help us ultimately with Spencer Strider, keep in mind, again, the Blake Snell thing, I'll say this. You know, again, lowest ERA currently by .05, as Kelly just pointed out, in the National League. And remember, the highest walk rate. The last time those two things have been in tandem, the year was 1913. Can he sustain that the rest of the way? I don't think he can sustain it through the next start. But we'll see. Maybe he'll prove us wrong again. But I do think Justin Steele ought to be the favorite right now. He's plus 175. You can still shop around for the best prices. But let that be the first thing we talk about today, where another one set up beautifully, just won't get home in 2023. Real quick about tennis yesterday. We had Marketa Vondrousova to win the quarter. Both things could have happened with a Marketa Vondrousova win yesterday over Madison Keys. Neither did. In a tennis year that has seen us at tons of CLV, only to have a losing ticket, to have a multiple dogs be close to winning matches, only to have the other player walk off the court, talking about the whole calendar year now. Yesterday, Marketa Vondrousova had 9 break points. She didn't convert a single one of them. While Maddie Keys went 3-for-3. If you tell me before the match she's going to have 9 and Keys is going to have 3, you make the bet every time.
Every
plus
time.
Money. None you can do. None you could do. So we lose on that as well. And what could have then eked out as a winning U.S. Open because of that yesterday, that ain't going to happen either, as none of the futures get home. If you listen to the U.S. Open podcast that I did with Drew, I did bring up Karolina Mukova. I did the 3-2-1 thing. Who do you think really wins that particular quarter? I go, Mukova. Didn't bet it. And then I brought up Maddie Keys at one point. I'm like, what do you think about Maddie Keys? Just wedged her into the conversation, but didn't bet her either. So we had a question from somebody this morning through Adam Burke, who was like, hey, I have Keys and Sabalenka. Keys, thanks to the podcast. What do I do? Well, you're guaranteed a person in the finals, right, on the one side. They're going to play the winner of the Coco Gauff Karolina Mukova match. Normally, I would say wait to the finals and then play it that way. Listen, I think Mukova has a incremental advantage in the betting number, but I think the way that guy plays it, he probably plays Coco now and then prays for a non-Mukova upset.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Usually I would say just wait to the finals.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, usually
just wait
that's
to the
what
finals
you
and let's play it that way. I think that's still the proper mathematical thing to do at this point. I do have one tennis play today. That is the over in the Coco Gauff Carolina Mukova match. Not going to take the flyer on Mukova at the price, even though I think she is I do have a slight lean to her based on the number. But I'm going to take the over. It's 21.5, even if you get a 7-5, 6-4 match here, which I'm going to think it goes to 3. I really do. But this just feels like Coco's year. She's already won 2 tournaments on hard courts this summer in D.C. and in Cincinnati, which was a 1,000 tournament. Maybe, just maybe, this is her first Grand Slam title waiting to happen. But she's got to get through 2 matches. So I got the over 21.5 games against Carolina Mukova today as the only play at the United States Open, which has been a have you watched these last few days? You can hear a pin drop.
What's funny is I haven't watched as much the past couple days, but when I have, that's what I thought.
The air has gone out.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, that's been the hallmark of this show in Primetime Action for years. Like, we talk about when we win, we talk about when we lose. And by the way, none of that stuff is excuses. When we win, we also have to acknowledge when we get the best of it as well. So many times we get the best of it, but this year has been a cavalcade of certainly getting in the worst of it every which way we can. We'll come back. JBT on college football. Hopefully he has some winners for us. That's next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL kicks off tonight, and you still have time to get a betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide has plenty of opportunities all season long. Picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits and football contest strategies. If you want the best and most comprehensive collection of picks, predictions, and previews, now's the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber for as low as $19 or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. We're getting a couple tweets, by the way, that Strider is 75-1 at FanDuel. 75-1. Now, you heard what I just said, that this ticket is over. But 75-1? Like, there's still enough time for the other two guys to mess up badly. I might take a shot at 75-1 on principle. That's crazy. The NFL season kicks off tonight. College football in full swing. Our senior NBA analyst, who also loves both of these sports, is with us as well, yes?
Yeah, we're getting him in a minute.
We're going to get him in a minute.
We're getting him in a minute.
We're just working stuff out here at Bar Canada. What did you end up with in tonight's game? Chiefs and the Detroit Lions. The NFL season kicks off. First of all, what's your excitement level?
Oh, my God, I'm so pumped. Are you kidding me? Let's go.
I was just talking with Isaiah before the show. I'm like, what do you love more, the hamster wheel of the NFL season or, like, because some people complain, right? Some people be like, oh, my God, it's a never-ending hamster wheel. Versus, like, July where we're like, what do we talk about today in segment 3? Like, what give me the hamster wheel every time.
I mean, this is we've been preparing for this day
for
2.5 months. It's this every year we prepare.
What'd you end up with bet-wise?
Bet-wise, I have – so I grabbed the Lions +6 before the move with the Kelce news. And the update there is he's going to be at the Chiefs facilities today, apparently.
I think he's playing. My hunch is he's playing.
Pushing to go, apparently. Yeah.
He doesn't miss games for injury.
I feel like it's a 52% chance.
52?
That's where I'm at.
You came up with 52?
That's where I'm at. Like,
52% chance that Kelce goes. Chiefs are 4.5-point favorites in this one. Total is at 53.5. Kickoff at 8:20 Eastern. 5:20 Pacific. So we got to figure out our Amazon settings and all that. Got to make sure before game time.
Yep. You do. Yeah. So I played Lions +6, and then I did play that Jahmyr Gibbs over receiving yards prop. Although, Dan Campbell had some comments yesterday about making sure to ease Gibbs into the offense because he wants to make sure that he is 100% near the end of the year and. That was a little concerning to see that yesterday.
But coming up on the show, Kelly and I are going to give our awards predictions.
Yeah.
Not our best bets, but just our sports talk radio awards predictions, right? And then you can sort of wedge in bets, and we'll obviously relate it to bets accordingly. Jahmyr Gibbs may come up in one of these, is all I'm saying. My question about him is this. He was picked 26th in the draft, number 26 pick out of Alabama for the Detroit Lions, and they were roundly sort of panned as saying, oh, you overdrafted him. Do you believe that there's a possibility that teams hear the overdrafting criticism and then are like, oh, I'll show you. We're going to feed him the rock.
Oh, yeah. I think there is that a bit. Yes. Yeah. I think if you make an aggressive pick like that, and I was high on him in the draft, make an aggressive pick like that in the draft, yes, that's part of the reason behind my bet tonight.
Yeah.
I think you want to show off that Ferrari early.
JVT joins us. Jonathan Von Tobel. You can follow him on Twitter at MeJVT. Doing college football shows both on Saturday and Sunday. Saturday more of a live show. Sunday an opening lines type of show. He is our senior NBA analyst as well. That doesn't look like JVT.
Yeah, we're going to bring it back next segment.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right. Is that what we're going to do?
We're having Skype issues over
okay.
here. Yeah.
Do you want to do our awards?
Let's do our awards. Yes, let's do our awards.
It's amazing how we just can do it on the fly
this. That's right. Well, we might have to fly through these a little quicker than we were thinking, but
It's okay. It's all right. We'll do them. We just basically took five major awards in pro football, and we wanted to get these on record here before the season kicks off tonight, of who we think ends up winning what. And it starts with MVP, which, in terms of bettable, really wasn't the most bettable market this offseason. It could change as things adjust here after the first few weeks of the season. Week by week, you can bet these, and things will reveal themselves, let's say. In the end, an MVP you went with...
Joe Burrow is who I went with. I did have to bat around. We talked about MVP. Neither you or I have an MVP bet, correct?
We do not.
We don't have an MVP bet. I believe the top of the board is the way you would want to look at in this market.
Yep.
And I don't really think it's worth making a bet in it right now.
I don't.
But Joe Burrow, I think as much as the national media talks about him, as good as I expect that team to be, it feels a little bit like it could be his year.
Okay. I went Justin Herbert. Again, no bet.
For a lot of the same reasons, though. I liked your pick, too.
Well, mine was sort of like what I just said about Justin Steele. Like, he's the guy that put the team in the playoffs. I think you're the Chargers guy this year. You do have Chargers bets.
Yep.
I think Herbert is so good this year that he wills the Chargers into the playoffs, and they might not actually give up a 27-point lead in the postseason this year. That I believe as well, but this is obviously a regular season award. So I've got Justin Herbert. I could have just as easily picked Joe Burrow. It was sort of a coin flip. Why not Patrick Mahomes? Just because I think there's a fatigue issue, probably. He's sort of LeBron-ish at this point.
He's amazing. Of course, I wouldn't be surprised if he won it. But, yes, I think the LeBron LeBron comp is fair.
What do you want to do? Let's do Offensive Player of the Year. Now, Offensive Player of the Year, which is an Associated Press award, has really, over the last 4 years, become this de facto non-quarterback award. It didn't used to be that way. It used to be pretty evenly dispersed between quarterbacks and running backs. But then all of a sudden, sort of unspoken, the MVP has boiled down to a quarterback award, which Aaron Schatz, very famously says, can you just tell us it's a quarterback award at this point?
Yeah.
An Offensive Player of the Year becomes any other position that shined, who's the best non-quarterback. You ended up going with?
I went Christian McCaffrey.
Yes.
But I got close to doing something similar as you.
Yes. I bucked that recent trend.
Yeah.
I said, that's a 4-year window. Let's not make this a thing. And I feel like Jalen Hurts flirted with all of this last year as well. I think Jalen Hurts gets this year.
He was in that conversation last year. Yep. The two I was choosing between was McCaffrey and Lamar Jackson, because I think Lamar Jackson, they might make the same kind of case for that you would with Hurts.
And Ja'Marr Chase is the short shot here in this category.
Yes,
I believe so. I went Hurts. I think they revert back to, they're like, this guy's too good. His numbers are going to be too good. The Eagles are going to be too good for us to shut out Jalen Hurts of any award. What do we want to do next? Defensive.
Yeah, defensive player.
Let's do defensive player of the year. Of course we do. I'm going to start with this one
because
I have a little war, scars from this from last year.
Revenge bet.
I had Micah Parsons last year at +650. That looked like it was the best bet ever. And then all of a sudden it wasn't when Nick Bosa overtook him. By the way, Nick Bosa with the multi-year deal with the San Francisco 49ers, which is a huge development for the Niners out in the Bay. I went with Micah again. I think Micah Parsons there's no defensive player as great as Bosa is, as great as Myles Garrett is, as great as all these other guys, TJ Watt. And there are plenty of times all year we say, oh, my God, what did T.J. Watt just do? Mm-hmm. But how many times do we say that about Micah? He's all over the field. He made a play at the line of scrimmage. He made a play in the backfield. Oh, my God, he made a play 20 yards downfield. What is happening? So I got Micah Parsons as a defensive player of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's arguably the most valuable defensive player in football, especially when we talk betting and what it means to a spread. We used to talk about that with Aaron Donald all the time. Yeah. I would think for a lot of the guys that do power ratings on players, Micah Parsons is right up there these days. I did go with Myles Garrett. Micah Parsons, of course, I think – I went with Myles Garrett. I could have easily gone with Micah Parsons. I do think this Browns defense, though, is going to be great this year. They've added to this pass rush. I think that's going to free up some things from Myles Garrett, let him get to the quarterback a few more times. I think he's going to rack up some big sack numbers this year.
Offensive rookie of the year, as we move along on these, because we've got to get to a few more. Offensive rookie of the year, I really wanted to go Jackson Smith and Jigba, because I think he is perhaps the most talented of the bunch. We matched. We both went Jahmyr Gibbs, sort of based on our conversation that we had before, which is I actually think Dan Campbell and the Lions are going to try to prove their point about Jahmyr Gibbs.
Me too.
We have some reportage, if you will, from some people who are like, oh, he is going to get it. He's going to be fed the football. So I went Jahmyr Gibbs on a flyer.
This dude's a stud. I think they're going to use him a lot of different ways in that offense, both receiving, both out of the backfield. Yes, I think he has a huge year. I haven't made a bet yet. I don't know why. I've been holding back on that all summer, Gil. Might end up betting it at some point, though.
Defensive rookie of the year is probably the hardest one,
yeah,
I think.
Definitely.
I think this is more of just a shot in the dark. I ended up going with the guy who I think is just the best of the bunch. I think Jalen Carter is the most talented. I think the Eagles are going to be great, so I ended up going Jalen Carter. I wanted to pick someone in the secondary, like Emmanuel Forbes, mm-hmm. who made a lot of big scoring plays at Mississippi State, plays with Washington now, but it's so hard to win it in the secondary.
It really is. Jalen Carter, I think, great pick there as well. I went with Devin Witherspoon. I do expect that Seahawks secondary to be even better this year. I think he could have a lot of opportunities, you know, get a lot of picks, and hopefully that puts him up into the conversation. But like you said, a market I can't imagine I'm betting at any point this year.
And then Coach of the Year, I actually do have backed up with a bet. Matt LaFleur, Green Bay Packers, again, I've explained. I think Jordan Love is going to be good, and I think because of that juxtaposed against the Aaron Rodgers year, LaFleur will come out smelling like roses.
Love LaFleur. I went with Pete Carroll. I think if the Seahawks are able to somehow win that division over the Niners, it goes to Carroll, especially after what we saw last year with him.
All right. Jonathan Von Tobel on the other side. College football. We'll make it happen. Live from Bar Canada at the D right here in downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Get rewarded before you ever place a bet with the G-Bank Visa Signature Card. Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions or treat them as a cash advance, the G-Bank Visa Signature Card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. You'll earn a 1% cash rewards on gaming and sports app loads every time, and 2% on other purchases. G-Bank Visa is a card designed for gaming and sports fans everywhere and works with apps like DraftKings, BetMGM, and Caesars. To learn more, go to g.bank/VSIN. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Live from Bar Canada here at the D. He is our senior NBA analyst, but he does a couple great college football shows on the week. End, that is on Saturday. He does a live betting version of college football. And then on Sunday, an opening lines type of show. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jonathan Von Tobel. How you doing, JVT?
I'm good. You guys are now at my favorite spot. I've been filling in for Patrick the last couple of days on Sharp Money. And each of the last 2 days, I have gotten a Labatt Blue at the bar because I tried it for the first time and it was delicious.
What did you have? Say it again.
a Labatt Blue. Canadian beer.
Oh.
Yeah, one of the Canadian beers over there. It's tremendous, tremendous.
There you go.
Wow. I mean, JVT and I are big Canada fans
let's start.
We're big Canada fans.
Let's start there. Because you two might be, I'm checking, might be the only two individuals on Earth who have, I'm just kidding. But you're two of a few who have real interest in this. You have Canada as a futures play in the FIBA Cup, JVT?
Yeah, actually, so I double dip on Canada. So I bet them at +450 over the summer when the odds started coming out and they started shrinking. And then during the friendlies, you know, they had some scuffles. They barely got by some teams. They lost to the Dominican Republic. And so the market kind of freaked out and dropped them to as low as 9-1. So I doubled back up. So I got two futures tickets on them to win this thing. So I'm glad, even though they had that slip up in the second group stage, that they're here at this point, got by Spain, and then, of course, winning and eliminating Luka Doncic. So, yes, to Kelly and I, we'll frequently just text each other, oh, Canada, you know, whenever they play. So, yes, I am in.
USA, a $5 favorite against Germany in the semis. Canada, minus 230-ish against Serbia in the other semi. You're not nervous at all, either of you?
I'm a little nervous. We got to sweat out Bogdan Bogdanovic, yeah, sure. Who, you know, was one of my all-time favorite players, Atlanta Hawks. I mean, come on. So I'm a little scared, but, okay. You know, they should be able to cruise
just
by.
Curious.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would agree with that. And I'd also say, too, I've got I did take a wager on the Americans to get eliminated here in this round in the semifinals. I got them at 6-1. The problem is, part of my handicap was I felt that teams like Australia, France would be able to get to this point, and this is when they would take them on. Germany, a team that not many expected to be able to medal, and they're going to have a shot on that, you know, whether or not they're going to win this and move on to the finals or have a shot for a bronze. So that is something that kind of is a fly in the ointment for me there. I thought I'd be in a better position here if they did get here, which was really likely, and they are here, the Americans it is, that I'd be able to at least put myself in a position to do that. But since they're $5 favorites, I'm just going to sit there and hope that the Germans can pull the upset for me, but in a pretty good position with Canada on the other end.
All right. United States, just to clarify, 9.5-point favorites in that ballgame against Germany. All right. Tonight, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Detroit Lions, the NFL season kicks off, JVT. Make any bets for tonight's game?
Yeah, I did. I laid 4.5 for Kansas City. Even if Kelce does not play, and it seems that maybe that's going to be the case, we got to talk to Jesse Welch over the Kansas City Star yesterday. He made it seem very doubtful that Kelce was going to give this thing a go. I don't think we're in a day and age, even with the questions at wide receiver, even with how good Travis Kelce is, that a tight end, you know, should be worth 2 points to a point spread. We were at 6.5. That obviously accounted for, I think, the absence of Chris Jones. And now we get here to 4.5. Without Travis Kelce potentially, and I just can't really wrap my head around that being that much. And I also can't wrap my head around guys. You know, I've got the NFL home field last year being worth about 1.8 points. So let's round it up to 2. I can't wrap my head around the Lions, even against the Chiefs team that is missing two of their more important players, being only about 2.5 points worse than the Kansas City Chiefs on a neutral field. So I thought 4.5 was a discount. So I laid 4.5 here with Kansas City, even with Kelce status in question.
All right, your college football shows that you do over the weekend. How much fun do you have doing the live betting version on Saturday?
Dude, so we did it last year, and I kind of forgot how fun it was. It is awesome. It's awesome to see the market react to these limit bets, to see where essentially, you know, you don't know who it is, but that you see where these market shapers are looking and what they're literally doing. You're watching them shape the market live on the air, and we're talking about it, and it's incredible. You know, the biggest one, of course, was watching the Colorado-Nebraska total. That thing opens up at 65.5 and just gets hammered all the way down within 20 minutes to 55.5 while we're on the air. Then you get to find out, too, like you get to find the points of resistance, right? So then you get down to 55.5, and then you start to see the buyback back up. And so I think it's an awesome show. It's really worth checking in, especially, you know, for the last hour. You know, on an NFL Sunday around 11 a.m., if you want to just come in for about 20 minutes and check out what's going on to see where the market is going for a lot of these openers, it is a really fun show, and I have a ton of fun doing it.
What time is it Saturday? What time is it Sunday?
So Sunday's College Lines Revealed, that's from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific time. And 11 a.m., for those who don't know, it's about 11:05, is when Circa, who is first to market with every single game, size and total, will put their stuff up. And then, of course, Live Bet Saturday is just your general live bet show. We track everything in terms of the morning slate. So we got Colorado and TCU last weekend.
That's
we
awesome.
Get Colorado, Nebraska this weekend. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But I think the Live Bet Saturday show is good. But if you're going to check out one of the two programs, I'd highly recommend College Lines Revealed on Sunday.
What were the lines then that surprised you the most this past Sunday coming into this week?
So I think it's hard not to start with opening up Nebraska as a 5-point underdog against Colorado. Only that, look, we can make the argument, Gil, that we don't really know much about these teams, right? Because especially with a team like Colorado, had the most transfers taken in of any FBS program. By the way, second most, Texas State, who also pulled off a very big upset over the weekend. So you don't really understand how good, how bad these teams really are going to be. Having said that, I do have a large sample size that tells me that odds makers have an idea of what they're doing. And the offseason number was Nebraska minus 8.5. And so that's a massive swing from where we thought this game was in the offseason to where we're at right now. And so I think it's really hard not to look at that and really be surprised by it. Outside of that, I don't think I was surprised, but it was one of those where you know, you have some thoughts and then it's backed up by people that are smarter than you. And so you're like, okay, cool. I was heading down the right path. You know, going to UCLA, San Diego State, for example, I don't think there is a team through two games that can start 2-0, but you can downgrade more than San Diego State. They have not looked good in their first two games, but they've been getting away with murder. Barely getting by Ohio on their backup quarterback, barely getting by Idaho State. And then now here against UCLA, the market opens up 9, immediately moves up to 13, and we're at 15 now over at Circus. So the market just keeps piling in on UCLA against San Diego State. So it's one of those where you kind of feel good about what you're thinking about a certain team. And the other, the cool part about Sunday is Circa for a long time has been the guys who have been first to market. They've been setting the market. So on Sundays in the last few years, the board would be blank, Circa would put their numbers up, and everybody else would follow. The last couple of years, you're starting to see some books at least enter the fray with some of the bigger games. And so Iowa State, for example, was hung up by FanDuel initially. That was opened up at 3.5 with a total of 39.5. Circa opened up their total at 35.5 for that game, and that got bet down. And then all of a sudden it starts to correct itself. We find ourselves now, water finds its level, it's at 36.5. But that was incredible, too, to see such a low total already and then have another book with its very respected open up lower and then have the market setters come in and set it even lower and then have that buyback. I thought those were some of the ones that stuck out the most.
It's very cool. By the way, back to Colorado for a second. I said yesterday, I don't know that there's any – I'm just trying to think through the years if there's been any time I've ever said, just from a content perspective, I want this to continue to happen just for the content
Of
it.
Yes.
And I think Colorado is that story, right? Like, you feel the same way, JVT?
Oh, dude. In my model about the – or excuse me, the journal about the model, I quoted Deion Sanders twice. It's such a good story. It's fun. It's awesome. Everything that comes out of it, it's almost – you know, it's got like a pop culture feel to it as well because people aren't really following sports or getting in on this. On my TikTok algorithm the other day, there was a great video of a fan in the stands at TCU telling Travis Hunter during warmups that he was overrated. And then in that same spot is where he had that incredible interception. And he runs to the corner and just starts yelling, who said it? Who said it?
Who said
over
it?
And over again.
These guys.
It's incredible watching what this has been.
They are the most receipt-seeking team that has ever existed ever. Yeah. I think I am contractually obligated to ask you about Alabama and Texas before we get out of here. Bama favored by 7. Any thoughts there?
So I'll say this, and it wasn't because of, like, the result against Middle Tennessee. I wanted to see what Jalen Milroe was going to do as a passer. And he, to me, checked all the boxes. Like, his footwork looked crisp. The PFF grades were awesome across the board. He didn't commit turnover-worthy plays. He was accurate. I have a sneaking suspicion that Alabama is going to be exactly what Alabama has always been by the time we get to the end of the year. And that would have put me really on the side of Alabama. Now, I don't want to lay a full 7, so I'm just going to sit back and see if, like, what I like to do in college football especially, these opening drives, these heavily scripted drives, hopefully Texas can come out, get an early score, and I can get that thing under 7. I can come in Alabama. But right now, if you were to ask me pick a side, it would be Alabama. I think the Crimson Tide are in a good position at home. And even though they won last year, I think Saban's going to have a bad taste in his mouth after what happened out there in Texas, even that last-second drive to win that thing. I like the Longhorns. Or excuse me, oh, no, Freudian slip. I like the Crimson Tide here.
All right, but your favorite bet this weekend in college football is?
New Mexico State. Ooh. Catching 10.5. If you go back and watch, I'm anti-Liberty. Liberty played Bowling Green last weekend. Bowling Green threw 5 interceptions, Gil, and were still in position to cover on their final drive and ultimately couldn't get there. And a last-second field goal gives Liberty the cover to the closing number. Liberty got away with murder. Now you get New Mexico State, who pummeled them last year, catching 10. I think the market's too high on the Flames. So 10.5 with the New Mexico State Aggies is the best bet.
All right, JVT, Jonathan Montoble, at me, JVT. Thank you, John.
Good to talk to you guys. I'm going to check out this vsin.com feed to a picture you guys got of me.
There you go. Coming back, unscripted with the Crack Man, DK Network style, next.
A numbers game on vsin, the sports betting network.
Special numbers game investigation reveals tonight is the beginning of the NFL season, opening night. Today's the best Thursday of the year. Football's back. DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, is hooking new customers up with a can't-miss offer to celebrate. Place your first $5 NFL bet and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Don't wait till kickoff, though, to get in on the hype. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. That's code VEGAS. New customers get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. That's code VEGAS. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D here downtown. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger.
Same old crack, new location.
And it goes a little something like this. Bill Krakenberger, live at the D. How you
hey,
doing, man?
How we doing, okay?
Thanks for making the trip with us.
Nice. I always like to be anywhere in the vicinity of a restaurant called Bacon Nation. Yeah, that's all. That's up my alley.
Have you ever experienced the Bacon Nation?
No.
I haven't either.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I'm told.
Wow. That's yeah. cool. Yeah. No, it's interesting down here. I don't really come down too much, and this was Derek's property here. You know, like, this was like the showman prop before the Circa opened. Does he ever come over here anymore?
I'm sure he does.
Yeah. This is yeah. a cool still. I've never really been up to this bar. It's pretty cool up here.
Do we think the D stands for Derek or Detroit? What do we think?
Oh, that's a great call. I don't know. I pulled one of those moves yesterday where Derek was as I was leaving. He was walking through.
Oh, cool.
And I was trying to do the flag him down and like, hey, Derek, like, say hi. And, of course, like, he didn't hear me and just kept walking.
It's like when Michael Gaughan used to see me. I was like, you look vaguely familiar.
Right.
Yeah.
No, he just didn't hear me. But it was like, okay.
This is close quarters here.
Yes, right? It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is real close quarters.
Behind the velvet rope.
There's an old saying here. I'm going to read it to you.
Please.
The bucket of blood, a rough, crudely finished bar or area where fights may be expected. So that's a.
What are you trying to say?
No, I'm just saying this is. Yeah, no, this is cool. I'm glad they furnished us with waters. I was thinking about going back. Like, there's a bar right there with every alcohol you want. I mean, I don't drink, but I would. Maybe that today would force me to start drinking.
Excellent, excellent yeah. use of the word furnished. By the way.
Oh well, yeah. No, this is it's cool. Listen, they had some great coming in here. The music was much different than the South Point.
Yeah.
So I heard Elvis.
Sure.
Sinatra, Dean Martin, The Doors. And the same smell of cigarettes as both properties. But that's okay.
That's
it is,
right.
It is what it is.
It's authentic. It's what
yeah,
it is.
It is authentic.
What do you think? Like, do fast forward 25, 30 years, they're going to say to me, they're going to be like, you know, were you a smoker? I'm going to be like, no, but I have a story for you.
It is. You know, it's just smoking goes with gambling in every casino across America, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, back east, too. It's you know, especially, I should say, especially back east. When people go to casinos in Atlantic City, compared to Las Vegas, where they're on vacation, it's more social, have some fun. Atlantic City's a more serious crowd. They go there to win.
Yes.
So it's a lot of nervous energy, smoking, you know, and it's just, it is. It's a total different kind of crowd. They actually go there to win, to make money, and go home a winner. So if they don't, a lot of people are looking to take it out it's a tough job. These guys have tough. These staffs all across the casinos from every department, they have tough jobs. From, you know, the security guys, the bartenders, dealers, it's a tough job. Tellers at the sports book, which is the race books and sports books back home too. I'll always call Jersey back home. But it's a tough job. Anyway, go ahead, Gil.
You have any? No, it's okay. Do you like me from the left better than the right, first of all? Let's just get that out of the way.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I feel like I'm crooked, to be honest with you.
It's a little bit of a, crick in the neck kind of thing.
We're still figuring out a couple techniques.
Yeah, well, I don't know, but, you know, I'm just in case I did bring something, and I'm glad I brought it because.
Oh, you brought a prop.
No, just because I feel like I'm an Italian sweating on the witness stand up here. Yes, Your Honor. I did see him kill him that night of the 5th. No, but, you know, it's a little warm, but it could be the lights, though. I like it, though. I actually like this table. I've done some shows at this table. Maybe with yourself.
We did a podcast together here. Yeah.
No, look at this table. It's so cool.
It's very very nice shield.
Yeah,
looking
nice
table.
We have a nice crowd here.
You bet the game tonight at all?
You know, I bet a little bit on the over, thinking I was a wise guy over 27, even when the lines were
first half
came out.
Yeah,
and then they announced the Kelsey. Of course, outage.
We don't know for sure yet.
We don't know for sure. I seen a girl that works for NFL, I don't know if NFL.com or something. She has like 300,000 followers. She said, you know, that this is only a questionable thing.
Yeah.
So
he's going to try to work.
It's not going to be as 100%. We know that.
Yeah.
But and yesterday, the line went down to 52 at some places. And also, not only that, I seen a -4 yesterday. Which is amazing.
Here, right behind us.
Oh, really?
-4 at Circa, yeah.
-4.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, I mean, that's just hard to believe. I mean, listen, a lot of games I won't do this ever because they charge so much on the 3. But you want to buy the 3 on some games. But not high totals like this. And a lower, obviously the lower the total, the more close the game is supposed to play out to the number. So I actually would maybe think about a minus three on the game. But now that it went back up to 4.5 and even 5. So here at the Circa, Circa Sportsbook, minus 4.5. And now the total went back up. So the total went back up to 53.5. There's even a 54 back on the screen. So I think maybe the over – I mean, that's an overreaction. It was – by the way, it was 55 when this – when it was 55 at many different shops when this information came out about Kelce. That's – I don't – listen, I know he's their best receiver, and I know he's one of the best in the position for the sport career.
Well, this is what I was going to say. That's the betting 101 for those who are new to – newish to betting the National Football League. Typically, only quarterbacks move the line. Yes, is there a defensive player like a T.J. Watt? Were he out?
Sure.
Would it move a point and a half? Perhaps it would. But for a tight end, as great as Travis Kelce is, for it to move 2.5 points,
I'm
right, from
you,
6.5 to 4.
There was a dozen 55s on the screen, too, yeah, as far as the total, to move 3 points. I don't know if any player besides a quarterback is worth that. And
that's
only
point.
A yeah. percentage of the quarterbacks.
Yes.
So I agree with you. I still think we're going to see a lot of offensive fireworks in this game. I'm not really one that likes to bet over on the first game of the season. But, so it should be some offensive fireworks. Maybe in the first half, too. Now it's 26.5 everywhere. There was 27s originally, 27.5. Then it went down to 26 at a couple spots. So we'll see what happens. But my way to bet these games is going to be the same thing as it is every year. I know what gets the money, and that's NFL player props. So NFL player props, betting over under on yardage from the players, receivers, running backs, quarterback.
Those are beatable.
Those are beatable. Yeah, I still have to say.
Yeah.
I know people don't like this. I know people don't like this, and I know we're supposed to be encouraged sports betting. And
this is a great season beginning PSA you're about to make right here.
I know, and we haven't talked about this, but you just know from my previous years.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know anyone that beats the NFL sides year in, year out. I know Las Vegas Chris says he does very well. Last year he had a bad start, but then he blended in teasers and parlays and got out for the year and actually won for the year. I just think it's a tough thing to beat, but I will say this. I say that, and I still do bet NFL sides here in town because I'll tell you why. When you have these extra half points, which mean everything, the sports books here get so much fan base and square money that they're forced to move and get that hook. And what I mean, like even maybe tomorrow, let's see, I mean, on Sunday, I don't know if it went to 7.5, but I think it was 7.5 for a while at a couple sports books. The Arizona-Washington game. Everyone's against Arizona. One thing I can tell you for sure. The sports books, they're rooting for Arizona this week. I can tell you that much. Everyone's anti-Arizona, including me. I went under season wins, under 4.5. I found a great line in town here.
But your point being that, and you represent, as many of our guests, you represent a very small fraction of actual bettors. The average guy is betting this right before kickoff, let's be honest. Maybe not week one, but certainly moving forward, they bet it as close to kickoff as again. What you are saying is it's not a sustainable way to win long term.
Let me just tell you, I don't want to come off sounding wrong here.
Yeah.
But I'd be willing to bet a lot of my money that you give me five. You put up your money and you want to gamble versus me on something. Here's a great gamble. I'll give Gil the money. 5 games a week, you bet day of game on Sundays. 5 days, 5 games a week at the line in that casino. We could pick any casino. I don't even care. You know, it don't have to be the sharp line of the Circa. It could be a weaker line around town. Any line, pick 5 games a week against the spread, lay $1.10. You're not beating that. By the end of the year, you're not going to beat me. You're not going to be a winning sports bettor after laying the juice, day of the game, betting NFL sides only.
He's taking all comers. Bill Krakenberger, unscripted with the Crackman, at Bill Crackman with a K. For those who are watching on the DK Network, Dan Lebatard is next. You can tune in for his show. For those who want more of the Crackman and more football talk, including what he's doing with Survivor, keep tuning in to VSiN. We can do that any which way, YouTube TV, iHeart, however you want to do it. Coming right back, live from Bar Canada at the D, right here, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Kelly and the Crackman, Bill Krakenberger. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.